Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
South Korean intelligence officials say North Korea tried to steal COVID-19 vaccine information from the drug maker Pfizer, which is worth noting because North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un has said his country is coronavirus-free. It is difficult to know what's going on inside the isolated country, but we do know that Kim closed the border with China in response to the pandemic, and he even admitted last month that his economic policies have failed. Let's get some insight from Victor Cha. He's Senior Vice President and Korea Chair at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He's on a Skype line. Victor, welcome.
Thanks, Peter.
And what do you make of this story? South Korea claiming that North Korea tried to steal vaccine technology from Pfizer.
Well, I think it just shows how concerned North Korea is about the pandemic seeping into their country. They don't have a public health infrastructure system to speak of. And they have reacted in a similar fashion with regard to previous pandemics, whether it's been the Ebola virus in West Africa or the Middle East respiratory syndrome that hit South Korea a few years ago. So they're quite paranoid on a good day, but in this case, they're extremely worried about COVID getting into the country.
Should we believe Kim Jong-un that North Korea is free of COVID-19?
Well, as you said in the lead, it's hard to know what's going on inside the country. Most of the NGO groups have all been kicked out. Most of the diplomatic personnel has left. So there's very little ground intelligence about what's going on there. It's certainly plausible that they have no cases in their country because they have sealed the border now for over a year. But at the same time, even if they have no cases, they're arguably the country most affected by COVID because of the way they have sealed off the country and allowed the economy to go into free fall. Again, over a year without any interaction with the outside world.
And so, well, that's a very interesting point. If that's true, that it is the country that's most affected by COVID in one way or another, how much devastation could it bring or is it bringing to the country, do you think?
Well, we do know that after 1 year of being closed, sealing the border off with China, their economy contracted by somewhere between 8 and 10%, which would be higher than the contractions in the economy in the mid-90s when they suffered a famine that killed 10% of the population. And then that also means when they close the border, the one country they trade with, China, is also not being able to either send supplies, send vaccines, or send commerce across the border. In addition to that, in the summer, this past summer, they had the worst flooding they've ever had in decades, which has really affected the food supply in the country, the fall harvest. So in many ways, it's kind of a triple whammy. The floods in August and then COVID and then the shutdown of the border has really put the economy in a difficult position.
Go back to that famine in the 1990s that you mentioned. Of course, it was just absolutely devastating. Were there any parallels to what happened there with what might be unfolding now during a new health crisis?
The famine in the 1990s was largely brought about by the end of Soviet patron assistance, at that time, Soviet patron assistance to North Korea in the form of heavily subsidized energy imports. This then created an energy crisis in the country. They deforested the country because they had no fuel. And then when they had the annual rains, that led to a lot of flooding, which then, you know, cascaded into a famine. I think in the current situation, you know, we just don't know how much of a cushion the economy has that they can weather something like this. We also have to think that they've stayed shut down for a year, and the rest of the world, we're looking at being not returning to normal possibly, you know, till the end of this coming year, as the President Biden said the other day, at least for the United States, which means North Korea is going to stay shut down even longer. And whether they can weather 2 years or longer of being shut down, it's very difficult to say.
What does that mean for Kim Jong-un? Is his leadership in danger?
I think one of the biggest concerns that I have is that they seem to be saying in some of their statements, public statements to their own people, that the government is going to take control of the markets to try to take hard currency out of the markets for the government's use. That sort of anti-market activity really upsets the North Korean people. Again, this is largely a centrally planned public distribution system, but there are markets in the country. And whenever the government does things like this, they try to undertake anti-market activity and squelch the savings and the disposable income of the public. The public gets really angry at that. So that could create some internal turmoil.
So in other words, on a very small scale, individuals are able to make some money here and there by selling goods at a market or something to that effect. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're a farmer, there's an allotment you have to produce for the state, but then anything you produce above that is your own and you can sell it in the markets. And so, you know, if you give North Koreans just a sliver of daylight, they will take that opportunity and try to do better for themselves.
Yeah. Well, as we have reported on for the last 4 years, President Trump made a very big deal of his relationship with Kim. They met three different times. They exchanged, as Trump said, beautiful letters with each other. But of course, it didn't really result in anything. There was no movement on the geopolitical scale, really, nothing on denuclearization. How would you advise the Biden administration now to approach North Korea, considering what we've just been talking about?
Well, you know, it's a good question, and there's no easy answers when it comes to North Korea and denuclearization. I agree with you that Trump did not really accomplish anything aside from giving the North Korean leader a great deal of legitimacy. Meanwhile, the weapons programs have just grown. Denuclearization, of course, is the objective, but you have to stop the unimpeded growth of the programs, whether that's through a testing freeze or through a fissile material production ban, nuclear reactor operations freeze. We have to undertake those steps first to try to build a platform for having an expert working level negotiation, not the sort of made for TV summits that really had no substance behind it, that led to agreements on paper that the North Koreans just use as window dressing as they continue to improve their capabilities.
Victor Cha, Senior Vice President and Korea Chair at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and a professor at Georgetown University. Thanks for your insights.
Thanks, Peter.